Thank you, Kevin. Good morning, everybody. Ooh. You guys want to know something? I love you all. You're pretty awesome, every single one of you. I mean, all of you are different and unique, and you all have interesting quirks and stories, and just sometimes I can't get enough of spending time with you, hearing about you, and what you have to say. And I thought about that as I approached this lesson today, because it was really hard to write a lesson on chapter 16. Because a lot of 16 is, here's a bunch of names. Maybe you know some of them. And I read this three times before it finally occurred to me what Paul was saying in chapter 16. And you know what he was saying? He was saying, to the people I love, be wonderful. Go on. Because at some point, we are going to say goodbye. And I very much think that time was it for Paul. Let's keep that in mind as we go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our time together, for the scripture that you've given us. And even as these names that we read about and these dates and places are long past, we know that they were written down for our instruction, but also for us to learn from and grow from our faith, but also to help grow the church. And as we study your word today, we ask you to help be with us in all that we do. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. Saying goodbye. It's awful. I can't think of any instance where, even if I disliked you, I would want to say goodbye. Sure, maybe I'd want the conversation to end, but I don't think I would necessarily want you out of my life. Because we are who we are at our best, and we are who we are at our worst. And so that means even the negative people around us contribute to our personality. Now, that doesn't mean they should be a part of your life. And maybe sometimes you're going to want to look at these people and say, bye, Felicia. Or, peace out, I'm gone. But for those that we love, this is not an easy subject. The day I graduated high school, all the people that came to my party got together, and they all gave me a piece of advice, something that they had learned on the road of life. I don't remember a single piece of it. See how good it was, huh? But maybe I did. Maybe I eternally remembered, and I put those practices into my life as life went on. But I remember that event. I can vividly remember standing in my parents' living room as they all gathered on the stairs, because my parents have the stairs that kind of wraps around. It's not like, and you could see into the whole room from the staircase. And they gave me a piece of advice, wishing me nothing but the best. And that is what Paul does here. He has taken what is arguably the best theological masterpiece in all of creation. He has told you how much God loves you. He has told you how much that you have been transformed and justified under that love. He has told you how much he expects you to go in the world and practice that love in 15 short chapters. Granted, we've been on this for 19 weeks. 15 short chapters. And then for one final time, Paul shifts to say, to the people I love, go into the world, greet each other, love each other, and be careful. Take care of the people that I sent you. And who does Paul send them? Paul sends them the best. Out of all the people that Paul says, he says, take care of this woman. This woman who was probably sent there to deliver this letter, because that's the only way I can imagine this letter arriving. If he's the only one she's the only one mentioned being sent, then she has to be the postman. But he doesn't say that about her. He says, she is a wonderful servant of God. And help her and whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron among many, and myself as well. We know about Phoebe, right? We've read about Phoebe. Maybe some of you women have even studied Phoebe in your women's study classes. What do we know about her? What did Phoebe do? She sold purple. Not that special today, but purple was quite expensive back then. There's a reason only the wealthy wore it. And so we know, based on who she was in her profession, she was a wealthy woman. And what did she do with that woman, with that wealth? She served the church. She didn't just serve the church with her money, but she served the church with her heart as a servant. Some people try to claim that this makes her a deacon. No, that's a misunderstanding of the word. But she was a servant. And God says, Paul says, I love this woman. Take care of her. As those that also serve, who do good in the church, take care of them and love them. Greet the people I love. Greet them overwhelmingly. We have 11 verses of Paul greeting people. You guys read the end of Romans? You read all those names? And you kind of like, all right, verse 17. Can't skip over that. There's a reason that's in there. Because Paul is saying, greet them. How many of those people does Paul actually know? I am only sure that he knows 3 of them. And those 3 are listed here. I know he knows Priscilla and Aquila because he worked with them together in Corinth. And I know he knows Rufus because it says Rufus's mother took care of him. But all those other people, I would not be surprised if he had never met them. But why does he say greet them? Because he knew about them. He knew of their love. He knew of the good things that they were doing. He specifically said one of them was well known by the apostles and had been a Christian longer than me. Greet them, and greet them with love. Specifically, greet them with a holy kiss. I want all of you to turn to your neighbor and greet them with a holy kiss. Nobody? Thomas and Rachel did it. Good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. That's a strange custom you don't really do anymore. But this is very biblical. The Bible says it 5 times and very emphatically. Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 13 all say it with the exact same words. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Peter says it a little bit differently. He says, greet one another with the kiss of love. But it makes us uncomfortable because this is not our custom. But certainly it's biblical. Why don't we do this? I honestly don't know. Maybe it's because we don't know what it is. I can easily say what it's not. I can say it's not hollow. It's not artificial. It's meant to be affectionate. So when Judas goes up to Jesus and he greets him with a kiss, that's not the holy kiss. Or when the promiscuous woman in Proverbs 7:10 seizes the man that she sees and kisses him passionately, that's not the holy kiss. So what is it? And why should we or not do it? It's certainly common, or at least at this time period. We look at the story of Simon the Pharisee who Jesus says, look at this woman that's kissing my feet. You didn't even kiss me when I came to your door, which meant that was expected. Paul says it's holy. It comes from God. And this is how we should greet one another as pure and innocent people of God. It's affectionate, as we would kiss a brother or a sister or a mother or a child. Certainly we're not ashamed to do those things. But it's a physical demonstration. I think that this is why the Paul tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss, because the church is a physical demonstration of our love to God. And we have moved so far away from that. We become afraid of touching one another. First, it was the kiss. Okay, well, yeah, that's a little too gross and maybe a little too personal. Okay, how about the hug? Who likes to hug? Emery! You want to come give me a hug? No? Daddy says no. Okay. You can give me a hug later. But we're moving away from that. How about the handshake? Oh, no, COVID. Can't do that. All right, can we be in the same room as each other? No. We are men and women of action. We demonstrate our faith, just like Paul is telling them to demonstrate their affection. Even though that this was common, Paul tacks on the words, it is holy. We need to make it holy in our affection. We may not do this practice anymore, but if we are demonstrating our love to each other, we need to be affectionate for each other. Why am I harping this point so much? Because there's a phrase that in those 11 verses, those 13 people that Paul greets, he utters. I don't even know how many times. I didn't count. 8 times. What's that phrase? In Christ or in the Lord? Verse 7, in Christ. 8, in the Lord. Verse 9, in Christ. 10, in Christ. 11, in the Lord. Verse 12, twice, in the Lord. 13, in the Lord. What did the Lord do for us? He came in the flesh. Not in the spirit, also in the spirit, but in the flesh. He died in the flesh. He rose in the flesh. And then he ascended into heaven. Everything that God did was a physical demonstration of his love. And so if we're not doing the holy kiss, which I'm not saying we should, we need to have a physical demonstration, because that's exactly what God did to us. Greet one another in love. Be careful, people that I love. There's still a lot going on, and he has not yet come back. Be careful of the divisions among you. Jeez, if Paul had one final thing to say, he certainly said it. Be careful of divisions. Have I not told you to be careful of divisions, to be united, to avoid the things that divide you, but especially avoid those that teach a different doctrine. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who create divisions and create a scandal. A scandal contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid those people. Wait a second, Paul. You just told us to be united. This is in chapter 14. What is the point of chapter 14? As they were dividing themselves over petty reasons. See, it doesn't matter if you drink. It doesn't matter if you eat. It doesn't matter if you celebrate some holiday, because none of those things have to do with God. None of those things have to do with the church. And so the fact that you are arguing about those things are just creating an issue between yourself and God that does not have to be there. But this issue that he's talking about now, these people that are teaching false doctrine, that does matter. And Paul was very harsh on these people. In fact, there's only one other place where I can think of where Paul says, put that person out. 1 Corinthians, the man who was doing something so terrible that not even the Gentiles would practice that. Don't be with these people, but be united as brothers and sisters in Christ. Be knowledgeable about what is good. for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as it is, as to what is good, and innocent to what is evil. Be careful, people that I love, because there is a lot of evil in this world. We see it every day. 5 minutes of the news. You've probably seen enough in a lifetime, right? Everybody watch the news? Has anybody ever liked anything they've seen on the news? Yeah, probably not. I like the feel-good stories. I like hearing the stories that, look what this person is doing. That is great. Especially if they're doing it for the brotherhood and the sisterhood of God. But Paul says, know what is evil. Meaning, have a simple relationship to what it is evil. To know does not mean to know about. It means to have a relationship with. And we should have a relationship with the truth. But be careful to what is evil. Be careful, people that I love, because Satan is still here. 16 chapters, Paul mentions the word Satan twice. Do you know where the other part was? Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that there's absolutely nothing in the world, including Satan, that is going to keep God from loving you. And the only other thing he says about him is, his doom is sure. He has been crushed under God's feet. In fact, when we look at Revelation, it's not even God that finishes him. It's one of the angels, because Satan is not anywhere close to being equal to God. But until that time comes, be careful, because he will make the most of every opportunity. He will shoot you with the fiery darts. He will attack your spirit and your physical body. Be careful, people that I love. And finally, Paul ends this whole message on the best possible note, probably knowing that he's going to his death. Paul's going to live a few more years after this, but he says, let me pray for the people I love. Let me tell them how much that I care about them, that I've taken, I don't know how long it took Paul to write this letter. I imagine it probably took weeks. It takes me a few hours to write a 700 word article for the Daily Star. I can only imagine it took Paul weeks to write this letter. And he ends it by saying, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. Remember who God is. Remember to lean on his strength, to study his word, that he is eternal. Only he brings faith, and he is the only one worthy of your glory. Amen. The final word of the book of Romans. Amen. Praise God. He has done all these great and wonderful things, and that we have been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Where are we going to be 5 years from now? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be here. I don't know if you're going to be here. But I do know that I love every single one of you. And no matter what you do, I hope more than anything, you remember the words that Paul says at the end of this letter, that only he is God. But until then, take care of the people God loves. Greet the people that God loves. And watch out for the people that God loves. Because every single day, he watches out for you. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, feel free to come forward as Jeff leads us in song.